My name is Alan Morse, and today we got another teaching. And this teaching is going to be in 1 Thessalonians, and this will be our second lesson in 1 Thessalonians. And, of course, like I said before, this is a letter that Paul written to the Thessalonians, and this was the first letter that he had written of the group of these epistles that he wrote. This is the first one. And we're going to be starting in verse 5. So get your Bibles out. Get your five Bibles out and get your pencils and papers out so you can take notes. And we're going to go verse by verse through this wonderful book. And we were just been talking about different words that mean so much in this Bible. And we were just talking about the gospel. And we showed you where the gospel was and what it all meant. What it meant. And we showed you in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11, or in 12, 13, of how when you believe this gospel, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when you see gospel, you know what we're talking about. It's a death, burial, and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And that's salvation for the church. When you believe that, in your heart, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. If you truly believe that, you will be saved, and you will be with the Lord for eternity. And we have a tremendous future with God, and it's just beyond our imagination. So let's just get right into the Bible and start going again through it. We're in 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." Now, when we talk about power, that's another word that Paul uses for the gospel. When he talked about the gospel, this is one of the major words. We know that truth is a major word. We talked about the truth last time. But now look at this word power. And in order to do that, let's turn over to Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. And this verse you need to memorize. This is something that's just so wonderful. It tells you exactly how important this gospel is. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verses 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 16. It said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Do you understand that? It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." What's the gospel? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead for your salvation. I'm not ashamed of that gospel of Christ. "For it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Believeth what? This gospel. It didn't say believe and do anything. It didn't say believe and take Jesus as your Savior. It didn't say believeth in Jesus. It didn't say believeth and take Jesus in your heart. And it didn't say believeth and be baptized, or believeth and join a church, or believeth in speaking in tongues, or pray to Mary, or anything. It just said believe the gospel. And that's salvation for us. And we saw how important that was when we looked at Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Anybody who preaches any other gospel than this, or teach it, they will be accursed. That's how important. This is salvation for the church. It doesn't say all the things that the church say today, but they point to Judaism, see. They point to Judaism to believe in Jesus for your Savior. But this doesn't say that. It says believe the gospel. See, Jesus is not pointing to himself. He's pointing to what he did on that cross. Because what he did on that cross, when he died on that cross to pay for the sin debts of the world, that's what it happened. That's what he did. And because he died on that cross, he paid for our sins. And we can now have peace with God. Because when he looks upon us, he sees people who believe the gospel, and he declares our sins null and void. I mean, he totally covered them. They'll never come up again, ever. And God accepted Christ's blood on that cross to pay for our sins. He died on that cross for us, see. And also when he talks about that, he said, and it was the power of God unto salvation, see. See, the power of God gave us this. You know, for Christ dying on that cross, God had to raise him from the dead. I think it took more power to raise him from the dead than it did to build this, make this earth, because Satan was fighting him all the way. There's no doubt about it. Satan was fighting him all the way. So, just go back to the text. So, I just wanted to show you what power is going to be. You're going to see power quite often. You can see, when Paul says that, you can see where it comes from. See? And then it says, and in the Holy Spirit. Now, we just talked about that last time, Ephesians 1:13. And what it means is that he called it the word of truth, and it was the gospel. And when you believe the gospel for your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And this is tremendously important to understand that, because, you see, the Holy Spirit is, when you have the Holy Spirit, that's the proof of salvation. That's the proof of salvation. While we're talking about the Holy Spirit now, let's turn back. Let's go to Romans. We're not in a hurry here. This is a Bible study. Let's go back to the left to Romans. And we're just going to go so we understand these things. And let me show you what happens when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Number one is, just look at verses 11. Romans chapter 8, verses 11. And let's look at that. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, see, if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. Now it does, see, because we were sealed with it when we believed the gospel. That means the same Spirit that's in you raised Jesus from the dead. And He that raised up to Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt the day that I die physically. If Jesus doesn't come and take me home in the rapture and I die physically, say I die today, I know that my soul and spirit is going to be with the Lord in heaven. And there's no ifs and buts about it, see. And when He comes back, Jesus comes back to this earth at the rapture to take all the believers with Him back to heaven. Everybody that belongs to the body of Christ. See, only the body of Christ is going to go to heaven. And those people, and you get in the body of Christ by believing the gospel, see. And then He comes back. He's going to take our soul and spirit with Him. And we're going to raise our bodies, because, see, the same Spirit that was in Him now was in our bodies, and it'll raise our old bodies up, and they will be changed like His glorious body. Like His glorious body. And that's in that. But I'm going to talk a little while. I'll show you that here in a minute. But we're talking about the Spirit now, how important it is. You see, without the Spirit, you're not saved. And here's what it says. You look at verses 9, Romans chapter 8, verses 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You see, the churches today aren't preaching the gospel. Thus, the people aren't being saved, see. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why the churches are in such bad shape. The churches have maybe 500 on their rolls. See, people who believed in Jesus as their Savior, see. They walked down the aisle, and they believed in Jesus, and they were baptized. But when they walked out of that church, they were no more saved than they were when they started. And they say, oh, the church people, that can't be. Well, it is. It's a fact. Because there's no salvation for the church person except the gospel. You won't find it in Paul's writing. And he was the only apostle to the Gentiles in this whole book. He was the only apostle to the Gentiles. And he came to us so that we could have salvation. See, and Jesus pointed to the church, to the gospel for salvation. His death, burial, and resurrection. When you believe that, you'll be saved. You see, He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We saw that. For it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. And the second you believe that, in Ephesians 1:13, He says, when you believe the gospel for your salvation, you're going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's sealed in the Holy Spirit. You have God living in you for the rest of your life, pointing you closer to God each and every day. And this proof of that is that you have the Holy Spirit. Has God changed your life in your life? Is he walking with you every day? Is he pointing to where you should go? If he's not, you got a problem. You really got a problem. Let's turn over while we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and let's look at verses 13. 2 Corinthians, verses 13. And let's look at verses 5. Now, this is a little examination for you, and I want you to take it, because this is tremendously important. You see, I told you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not of His. We just saw that. And so, how do you get the Holy Spirit? You have to truly believe the gospel for your salvation. Taking Jesus in your heart isn't going to do it. Believing Jesus as your Savior, not going to do it. He didn't point to Himself. He pointed to what He did on that cross, and that's what He called the gospel. So look what it says, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 5. It says, examine yourself, whether you're in the faith. Prove yourself. Know ye not yourself how Jesus Christ is in you? Do you truly know that Christ is in you? Examine yourself, unless you are discredited to. And if you haven't believed the gospel for your salvation, you don't have the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way that you can get it, is believe the gospel for your salvation. That is about as plain as can be, this verse is, how important that Holy Spirit is. So let's go back to our text. So we talked about, or he said, talked about the power. So in verse 5. And then we're talked about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, verse 5, the Holy Spirit and His much assurance, as you know what manner of man we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, see. Followers of us. Paul keeps telling us in the Bible that we should be followers of Him. That people make them mad. We should be following Jesus. No, we should be following Paul and his example, because he is our apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul follows Christ, but we follow him because he shows us how we can be saved. See, Jesus never preached the gospel. Never preached the gospel, because he couldn't when he walked on this earth, because he hadn't died yet, see. And then he chose Paul to be the apostle. 8 years after Pentecost, he got met with Paul in Arabia, and they sat down and put together this body of Christ and this church and salvation for the church. And it's tremendously important. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 16, back to the left, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, and look what it says. Let's do 15. Start at 15. For though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. See, through the gospel. He's begotten us through the gospel. Therefore, I beseech you, be followers of me. See, he's telling us to be followers of him. You know, how important is that? I mean, that's tremendously important. You see, the churches today, they don't teach Paul's teachings. 95% of the Sunday services, every Sunday, the pastors are preaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Christ. 95. And the other 5% is usually in January, they're preaching in Malachi, trying to tell you that you have to give your tithe to the church because they're looking for money. Well, you see, if they preached the gospel, that wouldn't be a problem. Because if you truly was a pastor that preached the gospel and people were being filled with the Holy Spirit because they believed it, the number one priority in their life is going to be this person that lives in them. And that's Christ. And when Jesus needed money for the church to preach the gospel, that'll be the number one priority for you. I mean, it won't be having a huge home. It won't have 3 or 4 cars. It won't have to have, whatever it takes. You're going to want to provide it, because God's living in you. And the most important thing there is to you is that church to preach the gospel. You see, but you see, they don't preach the gospel, lest their people don't have the Holy Spirit. So they put rules and regulations on them, and they have to go back to Judaism to do it. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. And that was what Paul told them. You can't add those things from Judaism into the gospel. It cannot be done. If you don't do that, you're in trouble. real trouble. I guess I ought to show you what I'm talking about. So let's turn back to the text, and then let's go from there. Let's go to Galatians. Let's go back to the right. Go back to the right. I mean the left, excuse me. Galatians. Just after 2 Corinthians. And look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. I told you that people were adding things to the gospel, and he just couldn't do that. Well, look at chapter 5. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ has made us free." You see, "be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage." He's talking about the law. He's talking about Judaism or anything. And see, we're saved by the grace of God, unmerited favor. There's nothing we do to be saved except believe the gospel. We don't add baptism to it. We don't add the tithe to it. We don't add the law to it. And at this time, they were adding the law to it. And they were adding circumcision. See, these Jews were coming into Paul's churches, and they've come to churches that believe the gospel for their salvation. They said, and these Jews were believers, were followers of Peter and James and John. Then they did believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they said, "Well, we believe in Jesus, and you believe in Jesus, but in order for you to be saved, you have to be circumcised. You have to keep the law." And Paul wrote this letter to tell him, no. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that Christ has made us free." We're not entangled in those yokes of bondage. We're not entangled in any works that we do. All we do is believe the gospel. Look at verses 2. This is chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 2 says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised..." See, before you be circumcised for your salvation. This is what they were telling you had to do to be saved. See, the Jews were telling the apostles, Paul's people, and he said, "Christ shall profit you nothing. You add anything to the gospel, you might as well not have even believed in it, because Christ will profit." He's jealous. He did it all. You don't have to do anything. Don't you think that Christ's death on that cross was enough to pay for your sins? If you don't think so, you're not saved, see. And if you want to add to it, you're just saying, "I don't think Christ did enough." And he did enough. He died the horriblest death a man can die for your sins, and he paid for every one of your sins. Every sin you've ever committed or will commit, he's paid for. You don't add things to it. Look what it says in verse 3, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law, and Christ has become no effect." See, no effect to him. And then it goes on, look what it says, "unto you whosoever are justified by the law." You really think you have to keep the law in order to be saved? You've fallen from grace. So what I'm telling you, when you don't add nothing to Paul's gospel, you just believe the gospel. You don't add anything. And so when he tells you have to add the tithe, and if you were saved by the gospel, God would profit you nothing. If he told you had to be baptized, God would profit you nothing. If he told you that you had to speak in tongues, God would profit you nothing. You add nothing to salvation except believe the gospel. And this is just as plain as day. Plain as day. And the people, they teach Judaism anyway. They don't read the Bible. 99% of the preachers out there aren't even saved, and they're blinded. And not only are they blinded, their people in their churches are blinded also, because they do not read the book. This isn't my sayings. Nothing I said here. Al Morse has said nothing. I'm just telling you what the book says. See? Now let's go back to our text. Go back to our text. How, you know, it's just tremendous. And when we just talked about that we should be followers of Paul. See, he told us that. And it's very important we follow him, because he's the only one who preached the gospel to the, and he's the only one that gives salvation, gave us salvation for the body of Christ. And when we believe that, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be entangled with the yoke of bondage of the law or any other thing. We just believe the gospel, and God takes it from there. How wonderful. How wonderful. And then it says, let's read this verse 6 again. He said, "And become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, yet with joy of the Holy Spirit." And we can be just thankful, because when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're a different person. It is just a different person. You're not even close to being the same person. I mean, everything is changing in your life. While we're talking about that, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is what happens when you become a believer and you have the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verses 7. This chapter 5, verses 17. This says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if we believe the gospel, see, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away." What's passed away mean? When somebody says they passed away, they're dead. You see, all of our priorities that we've had all of our life are meaningless to us. Meaningless to us. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things become new. And if that hasn't happened to you, you'd better check to see if you believe the gospel for your salvation. Because when God comes into your life, everything changes. Man, when He came into my life, my whole life changed. Totally. You see, I'm an avid fisherman. I've been fishing all my life. And last year, when I was fishing, that was the year before last, I caught over 1,500 bass myself. Kept track of them on a counter. I fished all the time. And I loved the fish. But you see, when I got saved, that priority was gone. Do I still like to fish? Sure I do. But it's just not a priority to me anymore. My priority is to teach the gospel, to be in this Bible constantly. And I am. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 16 hours a day. Yesterday, I started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was 9 o'clock before I quit. And I love it. Every minute of it. I couldn't do that before I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I could only could read the Bible for maybe 10 minutes. When I got done, I didn't have a clue what I read. But as soon as I told God I believed the gospel for my salvation, He opened my eyes, and 10 hours later, I was still studying and understanding. He opened my eyes up so I could understand the gospel. And everything just came. It's just wonderful. He made a new man out of me. Priorities are different. I have love of a love in me that I never had before for the lost. I'm trying to do everything I can do to get this gospel out so God's people, His chosen people, can come to the gospel, see. And it's tremendously important. Let's go back to the text now. So the Holy Spirit is tremendous. Now, so this verse is verse 7. It says, "So that ye were an example to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia." I probably pronounced both of them wrong, but anyway, you got the idea. But these things, these weren't towns, these were provinces, or like states. Like in the United States, they're huge areas. And these folks totally, it took this gospel to these places. Look what it says. "And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place with your faith toward God. It spread abroad so that we need not even speak anything." Can you comprehend that? He was only with these people 4 weeks, and they've been spreading this gospel not only through their whole state, and another state, but every place else. Paul says, we don't even need to speak anything. The gospel is everywhere. Think about how wonderful that is. And I can see that, see. You see, since I believed the gospel, God put me on this internet and I started teaching. And in 6 months, there's over 7,000 people are listening to these tapes. Most of them have probably never heard the gospel before in their life. 7,000. I wouldn't touch 7,000 people in 10 lifetimes before. In fact, God couldn't use me before. And I kept asking Him. I knew the scriptures, but I always pointed Him to take Jesus as your Savior. So God never gave me anybody to talk to. Oh, I talked to a few people and I regret it. I regret it now because I didn't point Him in the right direction because I wasn't even saved. You see? And it grieves me, the people that I did talk to. And some of them died and never heard the gospel, and I didn't give it to them. So God couldn't use me, but the second I believed the gospel, man, He's just been using me, working through me. I haven't done anything, but it's God working in me. It's God working in me, then that's what counts, see. And that's what counts with you. It's not what we do, it's what God does through us. So Anyway, go to verse 9. It says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering and we that had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." You see, these people were abject paganists. They had idols. They were immoral. They were in spiritual darkness. And Paul, in 4 weeks, had turned them to the Lord, you know, and showed them the gospel. And they'd gone out and they just showed it everywhere. All the surroundings, was hundreds of miles around them, they went and proclaimed this gospel. It's just fantastic. And he said, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, who raised him from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." See, he delivered us from the wrath to come of God. See, we're not under the wrath of God anymore. And look what it said in verse 10. It says, "To wait for his Son." See, these people already knew about the rapture. They knew about that Jesus was going to come back. And Paul thought it was going to be in his time. You see, he thought that Christ was going to come back in his lifetime. And you know, I do too. But, you know, I'm closer than Paul. It's been over 2,000 years, see. He's going to be back here. And I figured that when he dug me up to teach the gospel, he had to, you know, scrape the bottom of the barrel. So we have to be in the last days. We have to be in the last days. So now here we again, we're getting close to 27 minutes already. And we haven't gone very far, but we've sure talked a lot about the gospel and explained it. Hope that you can understand it. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to teach this gospel. And I pray that each and every person that hears this will come to the saving knowledge of the gospel so that they themselves would proclaim this throughout all their areas that they live. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.